श्रील कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी राइट्स इन श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु's observance of Hara Panchami in Jagannath Puri. It is a festival where Jagannath leaves the goddess of fortune to visit Radharani's garden in Vrindavan. And after some days, Lakshmi Devi becomes very much upset. So she sends her maidservants. And this is all enacted in Puri. She sends her maidservants to tie up the servants of Jagannath and punish them like thieves. Hare Krishna. So while watching this very, very wonderful dramatic performance of the devotees of Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Swarup Damodar Goswami to explain the sweet rasas of Vrindavan. Srivas Thakur then spoke up. Srivas said, "Just see the opulence of my goddess of fortune. As far as your Vrindavan is concerned, it consists of a few flowers and twigs, some minerals from the hills, a few peacock feathers, and a plant called Gunja." The gopis, they are engaged in such activities as boiling milk and churning butter. But my goddess of fortune sits on a royal throne of jewels. Lord Chaitanya laughed. "Srivas, you are exhibiting the nature of Narada Muni. It seems that the Lord's opulence has influenced you. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, he is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. Swarup Damodar Goswami does not even know what opulence is. He's absorbed only in pure devotional service. Let us hear from him." Swarup Damodar Goswami spoke. He said, "Oh Srivas, please listen attentively. You have forgotten the natural opulences of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everything is made out of touchstone. The very surface of the ground is the source of all precious jewels. And the Chintamani stones decorate the lotus feet of the maidservants of Vrindavan. The opulence of Vrindavan is like a vast ocean. And the opulences in Vaikuntha and Dwarka are not even tiny drops in comparison. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is full in six opulences. Those opulences are only completely exhibited in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there are natural forests of kalpa vrikshas, desire trees that can fulfill any desire anyone has in their hearts. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they do not want anything else but the fruits of those trees. In Vrindavan, the cows are kamadenu. That means these cows, any wish you have in the presence of these cows, all your desires will be fulfilled. And there are unlimited kamadenu cows grazing from pasture to pasture to pasture. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they do not want anything else except the milk from these cows. In Vrindavan, all speech is music. All motion is dance. All water is nectar. And Krishna is always playing his flute, which is his constant companion. This is what constitutes the opulence of Vrindavan. When Srivas heard this, he became ecstatic. He started laughing and laughing and dancing in ecstatic love. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Swarup Damodar Goswami give this description of Vrindavan, he wanted to hear more and more. Lord Chaitanya said, "Go on singing, go on singing, go on singing." Swarup Damodar Goswami continued chanting the glories of Vrindavan, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so overwhelmed in ecstatic bliss. As he was dancing, he assumed the form of Srimati Radharani. Nityananda Prabhu was a distance away. He kept his distance when he saw Lord Chaitanya in the form of Srimati Radharani dancing near the Gundicha temple in Sri Puri. Nityananda Prabhu offered his obeisances from a distant place. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Radharani's form and her ecstasy was dancing and dancing and dancing. Go on singing, go on singing. Hours and hours and hours went by until all the devotees were completely fatigued. But Lord Nityananda was the only one who could catch Lord Chaitanya and get him to stop. Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped singing and said, "The devotees are very, very fatigued. Please." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external consciousness. This is Vrindavan Dham. It is the land of the supreme opulence, the natural opulence of love. Today, there is a bund, a political strike in which all our buses have become paralyzed and unable to take us to our desired destination, which was Taliban and Madhuban. On Samyak Rishi Prabhu's order, we will speak something about Taliban, so that we can be, actually, we don't need buses. We could be there simply by sitting in one place and hearing and remembering the glories of these places. That is the nature of transcendental consciousness. Srila Prabhupada writes in his books that Vrindavan, it is a place, the place that we are sitting now. But it is also a state of consciousness. You could be in Vrindavan, but if you're thinking somewhere else, you're here, but at the same time, you're not here. And you could be somewhere else, but if you are absorbed in the spirit of Vrindavan and the remembrance of Vrindavan, Vrindavan is non-different than its remembrance. Krishna, that tatra tishtami narada yatra gayante mad bhakta. Krishna told Narada Muni that I am always present where my devotees are chanting my holy names. And it is also said that Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. So when we are chanting Maha Mantra, we're chanting the beautiful songs glorifying Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. If Krishna is there, that means that atmosphere becomes Vrindavan. It is a state of consciousness. Srila Prabhupada in 1965 left physically, but Vrindavan was always in his heart. And he inspired the Vrindavan atmosphere of chanting Radha and Krishna's name and selfless surrender to the service of Radha and Krishna wherever he went. In one purport, Prabhupada writes, this is in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we have established our new Vrindavan in West Virginia, America. And he said, because the devotees are serving Radha and Krishna and always engaged in that way, remembering the Lord, chanting his names, and rendering service without expecting anything in return, therefore new Vrindavan is non-different than Vrindavan. So sometimes devotees, they like to take certain things from Prabhupada's books, and they don't pay attention to other things. So the new Vrindavan devotees, when they read that, they were canvassing like anything to get devotees from other centers. That new Vrindavan is non-different than Vrindavan. Prabhupada writes it right here. New Vrindavan is non-different. Prabhupada says new Vrindavan is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. But they forgot what he said in the next line. Or maybe they didn't forget, they just didn't acknowledge. He said, all our temples are non-different than Vrindavan. Wherever this atmosphere is actually being manifested. Prabhupada installed Radha Krishna deities. And Radharani and Krishna are never out of Vrindavan. When Prabhupada put Radha and Krishna deities in the temple, he's giving the temple the Vrindavan environment. But how we perceive it is according to the purity of our consciousness. There are dacoits in Vrindavan. And there's also pure devotees in Vrindavan. Even in Krishna's time, so many demons were charging into Vrindavan. And no doubt, they were very divinely purified because they came to the supreme of all holy places. But Prabhupada is training us how to actually follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And in this way, our consciousness is always in Vrindavan. Prabhupada writes, of Lord Chaitanya's associates, Prabhupada writes this, Swarup Damodar Goswami never came to Vrindavan. He's Lalita Sakhi. Gadadhar Pandit, who's Radharani, never came to Vrindavan. He wanted to come with Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya said, no, you have given your vow of Chaitra Sannyas to serve Tota Gopinath in Puri. You cannot come with me. So many of the topmost Ramananda Rai never came to Vrindavan. But their hearts were Vrindavan. Wherever they went, they manifested Vrindavan. So Prabhupada was explaining that, and not only did he speak it, but he lived it. That really being in Vrindavan is serving the holy Dham, which means serving the will of Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. In this age of Kali, Radha and Krishna come in the one form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Rasma Ekatmanava Babi Babba Dehabidam Gatao Tao Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Adana Padvayam Chekyam Aptam Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Radha and Krishna has appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where we are serving his wish, we are serving the holy Dham. Yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he longed to come to Vrindavan. You know the story. When he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, The night after his initiation, he was so intoxicated with ecstatic love. There were torrents of tears flowing from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling. His voice was choked up. And in the middle of the night, when all of his associates were sleeping, he just ran in the middle, in the darkness, to Vrindavan. He was running and running and running. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, where is Krishna? Where is Govardhan? Where is Bamsivat? Where is Yamuna? And then a voice, the voice of the devatas, spoke from the sky and said, "My Lord, your mission is to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. You have to do that. You can go to Vrindavan later, but now go back to Navadvip and establish Harinam Sankirtan. You have come to drown the world in the ocean of Harinam."
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
So Lord Chaitanya, yes, thank you. And he went to Navadvip. And he established Harinam Sankirtan movement. In the house of Srivasa, in his own house, the house at Chandrasekhar Bhavan. Day and night he was simply chanting and dancing. In fact, it is said that by our acharyas that Srivasa Angam was Rasastali. The Rasa dance of Braj was taking place in Navadvip, which is non-different than Vrindavan, in the house of Srivasa, with Harinam Sankirtan. But then after he took sannyas in Katva, what was his ambition? Immediately after taking the vows of sannyas and receiving the sannyas mantra and given his name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he danced and danced and danced with Keshava Bharati Maharaj, his sannyas guru, and then said, "Now I will go to Vrindavan." And he was running, running, dancing, 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 and everyone was following. He sent everyone back but his associates. And he was going to Vrindavan. He was so fixed. Where is Yamuna? Where is Govardhan? Where is Bamsivat? Where is Mahavan and Kadiravan and Kothilavan? He was running. Nityananda Prabhu understood that the devotees in Navadvip were dying in separation. And ultimately the Lord's heart was to please his devotees. So he told some little cowherd boys, "When this sannyasi asks you, where is Vrindavan and Yamuna, show him the way to the Ganga." And they did just like that. And he saw the river Ganga, and he was so intoxicated, he thought it was Yamuna. He just offered his obeisances and started offering beautiful, beautiful prayers and glorification of Vrindavan and Yamuna, and he went in to take his bath. And on Nityananda Prabhu's arrangement, Advaitacharya came on a boat with some dried copins. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Advaita Prabhu, how have you come to Vrindavan?" And Advaita was really confused. He said, "Vrindavan, this is Shantipur, Ganga. Harivo." And then all the devotees of Navadvip, headed by Sachi Mata, arrived. And Sachi Mata and the devotees appealed to Lord Chaitanya that if you go to Vrindavan, it is very far away. We will not hear of you. But Puri is very close. Krishna is living there as Jagannath. Please make that your residence. So Radha and Krishna, the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, made his residence in Puri. And then he traveled throughout the southern provinces of India for 2 years. And he drowned people in love, in the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Yesterday we discussed at Belvan the story of Venkata Bhatta and his family. They became pure devotees of Radha and Krishna and knew nothing else in life but chanting their holy names.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
And then there's the story, Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan so bad, so much, too much. And the devotees, they couldn't stop him, but they couldn't let him go either. They said, Lord, you can go, because the Lord would not do anything without the blessings and permission of his devotees. He wanted to teach this etiquette, that no endeavor we make can possibly be auspicious and pleasing to the Lord unless we have the blessings of the Vaishnavas. He was longing to go to Vrindavan for years. And we're just taking a train and coming at Evo. Some people are living here at Evo. But Mahaprabhu, he actually understood the substance of Vrindavan to the supreme. He was longing to come here, but not without the blessings of his devotees. You can go, but after Doli Yatra. So he stayed for Doli Yatra. After Doli Yatra, I can go to Vrindavan, but Rathi Yatra is coming up. You should stay till Rathi Yatra. After Rathi Yatra, I will go. Janmashtami coming. After Janmashtami. You don't want to miss Janmashtami. After Janmashtami, oh, there's Sarat Purnima and there's Govardhan Pujas. Now can I go? Doli Yatra is coming up. Now can I go? Rathi Yatra is coming up. And for several years, they just couldn't let him go. But when they saw how his heart was so intent to go, they couldn't stop him. So finally they said, yes, you can go now, but we're all coming with you. So all the devotees were coming. Of course, Gadadhar Pandit, he was coming. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you cannot come. You took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. That means to never leave the town where your deity resides. If you leave, I will be responsible for breaking that vow. And Gadadhar Pandit, in very sweet, nectaring words, he said, to hell with this Kshetra Sannyas. Wherever you are, there is Vrindavan. When I see your lotus feet, I worship Gopinath hundreds and millions and billions of times. Harivo. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, you cannot come. And Gadadhar Pandit said, then I'm not going with you. You're not responsible. I will go. I'm going to see the Ganga and your mother, that's all. I'm not going with you. I'm going anyway. So Lord Chaitanya was going, and there were so many devotees with him, and Gadadhar Pandit was just a little distance away. He could see the Lord from a little distance, but he wasn't exactly in the group. So they came to one river. That river was actually the border where Gadadhar Pandit, if he crossed that river, his vow would be broken. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got on a boat and told Gadadhar that you go back, you serve Gopinath, and I do not want to speak anything or hear anything else. And then he went. And Gadadhar Pandit fell unconscious on the ground. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also was a Kshetra Sannyasi, although Grihastha, because he took vow that he would never leave the precinct of Puri, because his Ishtadev was Jagannath. So Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma, please pacify Gadadhar. And he said, Mahaprabhu, you don't understand. You should know that Mahaprabhu is feeling more pain of separation from you than you are for him. But because of his love, he must protect your promise. Just like in Kurukshetra, Krishna broke his own promise to protect Bhishma's promise. In the same way, the Lord is enduring the pain of losing your association just to protect your promise. That is his love. So they returned to Puri. And Mahaprabhu was traveling and he was doing Harinam Sankirtan everywhere he went. But what happened is, wherever he went, the entire villages and towns just left their homes, left their occupations, left everything to join Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan procession. To Vrindavan. Harivo. Soon there were millions of people. And everywhere he would step, people would take the dust from his feet, and there were holes in the grounds wherever he stepped. Then he went to Ramkeli, where he met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They surrendered with utter humility at his lotus feet. But Sanatan Goswami told him that to go to Vrindavan with so many millions of people, you will not appreciate the atmosphere. Better you go alone or with one or two others. Then Mahaprabhu went to Kanai Natashala the next day. It's a beautiful forest, which actually resembles Vrindavan. In fact, it is considered non-different than Vrindavan. Kanai Natashala, the river Ganges, circles on three sides around it. Beautiful forest on a hill. And there's tamal trees, and kadamba trees, and buckle trees, and banyan trees. And Mahaprabhu was there, and he was really feeling the sweetness of Vrindavan. But there were hundreds and thousands of people all over the place, and he thought, what Sanatana Goswami has said is correct. And he came back. He told the devotees, we will return to Puri. He came back. And when he got to the outskirts, the residents of Puri came to greet him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his heart. He said, because I caused pain to Gadadhar Pandit's heart, Krishna would not allow me to go to Vrindavan. Now, without Gadadhar's permission and blessings, I cannot go. Krishna will not allow. Now, that is a very important instruction. You cannot, Prabhupada says, you cannot come to Vrindavan actually simply buy a ticket or by buying some land. You have to actually have the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas. So Gadadhar Pandit, when he heard this, he said, my Lord, you are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. You can do as you please. But before you go, come to my house for prasad. So he came to the Tota Gopinath temple and Gadadhar Pandit fed him sumptuously with food that he cooked with his own hands. Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. How he cooked and offered it to Gopinath. And then to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya went with his servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And on the way, you know the story, how he was so eager to come to Vrindavan. In the Jarikanda forest, he was just anticipating arriving in Vrindavan with such intense separation. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that when Lord Chaitanya was in Puri and he was thinking of Vrindavan, his ecstatic love would increase hundreds of times. And when he was in the Jarikanda forest on the way to Vrindavan, that ecstasy increased hundreds, thousands of times. And when he actually came to the precinct of Mathura, that ecstasy increased hundreds of times. And when he was roaming through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, that ecstasy increased unlimitedly. In Jarikanda forest, he made the tigers and the elephants and the snakes and the deers and the trees and the creepers dance and weep in ecstatic love as they chanted the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, even the animals recognized that this is the son of Nanda Maharaj. The deers would come and lick him and glance at him with so much love in their eyes, welcoming him back after a long time away. And the parrots would be singing in great jubilation that Radha and Krishna have returned. And the cows, they would moo and they would surround the Lord and just lick his body like nectar. And the peacocks, when they would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as if their dearest friend has come home after a long time, the peacocks would caw and caw and dance jubilantly in ecstasy. In this way, Mahaprabhu roamed through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And then he settled in Akrura Ghat and would come every day to chant the holy names at the Imli Tal on bank of Jamuna. And there, chanting the holy name, he would be immersed so deeply in the highest ecstasies of divine love, Sri Radharani's Mahabhav. And in Radharani's love, his consciousness was so immersed in the ecstatic feelings of affection for Krishna that sometimes his body would turn the color of Krishna, Shamsundar, due to his absorption. And some acharyas explain that Lord Chaitanya was thinking, I have come to assume the complexion of Radharani with her sentiments. So Mahaprabhu decided to leave Vrindavan after 2 months. We have already explained when he saw Govardhan Hill, the first rock he saw, he just embraced and wept and cried seeing the body of Krishna. He discovered Radha Kund and Sham Kund were sitting under a tamal tree just looking at two ordinary little puddles in a paddy field. What Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what ecstasy he experienced living in Vrindavan. Millions of times greater ecstasy than anywhere. But he left to return to Puri, to perform Ratha Yatra with the devotees, and to further establish the Sankirtan movement. But did Lord Chaitanya actually leave Vrindavan? In one sense, in the mood of Sri Radharani, he was immersed in the ecstasies of separation. The last 18 years of his life in Gambira were nothing but the highest symptoms of love in separation manifesting. But wherever Mahaprabhu was, is Vrindavan. So this spirit Srila Prabhupada understood so deeply in his heart. He was living in Vrindavan for 6 years continuously. Radha Damodar Temple. Prabhupada said Radha Damodar Temple is the center of the spiritual world. It's in Seva Kunj, the place of Ras Lila. From where he was living, he just looked out his door and there were Radha Damodar, the worshipable deities of Jiva Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And from his window is the Samadhi Mandir and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. Why? Why would he want to leave at the age of 69? Because he understood so deeply in his heart that service to the holy Dham is the highest thing. And service to the holy Dham means service to Guru and Gauranga. Mahaprabhu ordered, in every town and village my name should be chanted. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered Prabhupada, take this message in the English language throughout the world. So yes, Srila Prabhupada, he carried Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the gopas and the gopis, and all the kalpavriksha trees within his heart. And when he spoke and when he wrote his books, he was revealing this supreme most treasure in a way that even common people like us could be transformed and transported to the supreme abode. But still, he wanted his devotees to come here. But coming to Vrindavan should not be taken cheaply. Lord Chaitanya himself, he displayed this. Jagadananda Pandit is one of the highest, most realized devotees of Mahaprabhu, who is in the mood of conjugal love, Madhurya Ras. He, Gadadhar Pandit, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, these are very, very elevated Vaishnavas. Jagadananda Pandit wanted to go to Vrindavan. But Lord Chaitanya said, you can go, but only stay for a short time. And always, constantly stay in the association of Srila Sanatana Goswami. And then come back soon. And the Acharyas explain why. Because if you're in the Vrindavan on your own, independently, then if we have material consciousness, we will superimpose our material consciousness on the Holy Dham and on the people of the Holy Dham. And then we will make offenses. In Vrindavan, any spiritual progress we make is magnified hundreds of times, but any offense we make is magnified hundreds of times. So we should not take it cheaply. It is not that, oh, I will just come and I will live in Vrindavan. But Mahaprabhu taught the world through Jagadananda Pandit. Unless you have a very, very specific service to Guru and Krishna, and you have their blessings, just go, spend a short time, keep the association of pure devotees, and then return to where your service is. Prabhupada did not like devotees just coming. He wanted devotees to come and do service for his mission here. Because then we're actually immersed in the proper attitude of Vrindavan, which is surrender. The residents of Vrindavan were totally surrendered to the will of Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. The will of Krishna is the will of Guru. Prabhupada did not want devotees just coming and taking it cheaply and making offenses. He built Krishna Balaram Temple and wanted very, very first-class devotees surrendering their lives, living by the highest etiquette and the highest example to be representing him and our whole sampradaya in that temple. And devotees from all over the world could come and remain in very intimate association, become spiritually charged by experiencing the magical spiritual influence of the Holy Dham of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya said, Vrindavan is the easiest place to become Krishna conscious. It is natural, because everyone loves Krishna here. Prabhupada wanted us to experience, but in the proper way, so that we would not make offenses. Yes, Prabhupada traveled around the world 13 times. We were speaking at Sri Sri Radha Gopi Janabalava Temple about selfless service. Srila Prabhupada, when he was 80 years old, he was still circumambulating the world 13 times. It was strenuous on his health. His servants would have to massage his bodies in such a way to somehow counteract all the unbelievable effects that so much strain and so much giving himself was having on his old body. But he never complained. He just carried on in a spirit of such selfless compassion. That's the spirit of Vrindavan that he wanted to teach us. Not to take it cheaply. He invited his devotees from all over the world to come to have wonderful festival, to see the holy places, to absorb their hearts in the pastimes and the teachings of the Lord, to come together and have beautiful kirtans in this most glorious spiritual environment of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and then take that inconceivable treasure of Radharani's mercy in their hearts and then go back to their places of seva and share the gift of that consciousness with others. That is the perfect path that Prabhupada has given us, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us and his associates. So today is Bund, and we could not go on bus to Taliban. But by hearing, by remembering with humility and a proper service attitude, we could actually be in Taliban right now. And hopefully we won't be there like Denugasura. Because that consciousness is not the way we want to live in Vrindavan. Shukadeva Goswami explains so beautifully in Srimad Bhagavatam how just after Krishna gave his mercy to Lord Brahma at Chomat, where we were the other day, then he came back to the bank of Yamuna, and his cowherd boys, the original cowherd boys, the Mahamaya cowherd boys that Brahma had stolen, they were all taken back by and disappeared. And the original cowherd boys, they just woke up as if they were sleeping for a half of a moment in the same place. And Krishna comes back. And, oh, Krishna, you're back so soon. You found the calves. We didn't even eat a morsel of food while you were gone. So fast you are. That is Krishna's transcendental lila. A year passed then. And Sukadeva Goswami said, Krishna entered his sixth year, which is Pogandalila. And according to Padma Purana, on the eighth day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik, Nanda Maharaj gave Krishna and Balaram the responsibility of taking care of the full-grown cows and bulls. Previously, they were taking care of the small calves. And this day is glorified as Gopastami. So Krishna and the cowherd boys would take the cows and loudly they would play their flutes and enter into the forest of Vrindavan. And the earth of Vrindavan was supremely fortunate to be decorated by the footprints of Krishna. Previous to Krishna's coming to his Poganda age, his feet were very small and very soft. Therefore, the footprints on the dust was faint, very light. But now he was Poganda age, and his footprints became very, very deep and clear. One could see very, very clearly all the 21 markings on Krishna's lotus feet. And wherever the Lord stepped, there was an etiquette amongst all the people and the animals in Vrindavan that no one would ever step upon or cover the holy footprints of Govinda. It was the treasure, the decoration, the supreme ornament of Vrindavan. He entered into the forest with his friends, and they would decorate themselves with all the fruits and the flowers and the peacock feathers and different colored dyes and minerals. And they would play so many beautiful games. Sometimes Krishna would call the cows in a very loud and deep voice. He would call the names of the cows. And because he chanted the names of these cows with such deep love from his heart, all the gopas would become enchanted by Krishna's chanting the names of his cows. Try to imagine the glory of these Surabhi cows. We're all trying to purify ourselves somehow or other. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiran, Yata. In the age of Kali, the only means possible of attaining pure love of God is through the chanting of the holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized this, that in this age of Kali, his guru told him this. He said, my guru told me a particular verse that I must always keep in my heart, that in the age of Kali, there's no other way except the holy name. Nam nama kari bahuda nija sarva shaktish. All the Lord's potencies, the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's form, the Lord's sweetness, the Lord's abode of Vrindavan, they will all be revealed when we can offenselessly and chant the holy name with love. So yes, throughout the 14 worlds, the devotees are chanting the holy names, but in Vrindavan, Krishna is loudly, with love from the core of his heart, chanting the names of his cows. And when the boys would hear this, they would be enchanted. And sometimes Krishna would play, and he and Balaram would make loud roars of lions and tigers. First they'd roar, and then it was just like a lion and tiger. And then in a very playful way, they saw all the small animals of the forest running away in fear. And then Krishna Balaram and all the gopas, they would run in fear as if there was a lion or tiger coming, while they were laughing, running with the animals. And so many games they would play, imitating the animals in their sounds and in their motions. Sometimes, while they would be playing, oh, one nice explanation Shukadeva Goswami gives, that Krishna saw a peacock dancing very beautiful for his pleasure. And then he looked at the cowherd boys and said, this peacock doesn't know how to dance. And he said, peacock, I will show you how to dance. And then Krishna began to dance, beautiful like peacock. And all the boys would laugh and laugh and laugh. And seeing this, the peacock would dance more beautiful than ever, encouraged by the laughing of the cowherd boys. They would play. Sometimes Balaramji would become tired, and he would lay down in the lap of one of his gopa friends. And Krishna, just to please his brother, Dauji, he would massage Balaramji's legs. And sometimes he would have little fans made out of the articles of the forest, and he would fan Balaram to cool him off. And sometimes as they were dancing and playing, Krishna would become tired. And the cowherd boys would very quickly, they'd see Gopal is tired, and they'd make a little, very quickly, they'd make a bed out of leaves and flowers, and they'd lay Krishna down, and one of the boys would have his lap as pillow for Govinda. And the boys would be fanning him and massaging him, and other boys would sing very, very sweetly songs, just according to the pastimes they were performing on that day. One day Krishna, when they entered the Vrindavan forest, he saw all the trees bowing down to him. He wanted to show his appreciation for the trees, but he gave all credit to Balaram. He said, "Oh Balaram," the trees were bowing down to Krishna and Balaram, but Krishna wanted to give the glory to Balaram. He said, he turned to his brother, Dauji, and said, "Oh Lord, just see how the trees of Vrindavan are bowing down at your lotus feet, and out of love they are offering their fruits and flowers to you. And see these bees." It is described that the bees in Vrindavan, just being near Krishna and Balaramji, they would become so intoxicated with love, that they would just close their eyes and just bzzz, just buzz in ecstasy. Krishna told Balaram, "See these bees, they're great sages who are following you everywhere you go and chanting your glories constantly through their bzzz, through their song. And look at how the peacocks are dancing just for you. And the does, the female deers, they are offering the love of their hearts through their innocent glance upon you. And hear how all the birds are singing your glories." In this way, Krishna was glorifying Sri Balaramji, the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. It attracted and gave supreme pleasure to all the five senses. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the fragrance of the flowers, at any season, these desire trees could grow whatever flower they desired just for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. The sweet ambrosial fragrance. Now please understand, these trees of Vrindavan are completely perfected, supremely purified devotees. And when they offer flowers, it's an expression of their prema. It's the offering of their love. Can you imagine the fragrance of the flowers? What we smell with our noses is sometimes an indication when we come here. But actually, when you enter into the realm of love, when through our faith and devotion, we can actually enter into the interior realities of Vrindavan, which is a land where there is nothing but personified prema, ecstatic love. These trees, which are kalpa briksha. Madhavendra Puri, greatest acharya of our line, is said to be an incarnation of a kalpa briksha tree from Goloka Vrindavan. But he was tasting the sweet ecstasies of conjugal love. Not exactly just a tree. He was on the highest platform of conjugal love. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted the sloka that Madhavendra Puri was chanting at the time of his disappearance from this world, he went in ecstasy. And it is said there's only three people who could understand in our hearts the depth of this verse. Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna in the mood of Radharani, and Madhavendra Puri. What a glorious position he had of Madhurya Ras. The kalpa briksha trees of Vrindavan, when they're producing flowers, they can actually fulfill any desire. That means these trees could do anything. The beauty of those flowers and the fragrance of those flowers were nothing but pure love. So Krishna and Balaram, Krishna was praising the glorious enchantment of Vrindavan. To the sense of smell, Vrindavan completely enchanted the heart through her sweet, sweet flowers. And the ears were completely satisfied by the singing of the birds and the sweet humming of the bees and the cooing of the peacocks. And the sense of touch was completely satisfied by the breeze. The breeze of Vrindavan is Yogamaya sending these incredible, wonderful nectarine breezes that are just carrying fragrances and carrying cooling mists from the Yamuna and the other lakes that consist of nectar. And when it would touch Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys and gopis' bodies, it would give them ecstatic pleasure. And the taste, the breeze would carry the taste of the nectar of the lakes and waterfalls and Yamuna. And the beautiful sight of Yamuna, Govardhan, and all the kalpa briksha trees and Kamadhenu cows, all the five senses were absolutely satisfied in Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is the opulence Swarup Damodar Goswami was glorifying. So in this way, Krishna and Balaram, they played with their friends as if they were just ordinary sons of cowherd men. But sometimes they would reveal the powers that are the exclusive right of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shall I continue? One day, Sridhama, Subala, Sloka Krishna, and other gopas approached Krishna. And in a very, very loving mood, they made an appeal. They said, O Rama, who has great strength. And O Krishna, who is the destroyer of miscreants. Just close by is a forest named Talavan. And in that forest, there are succulent, sweet fruits that are growing on the trees. There are so many of those fruits that some of them are falling to the ground. And the fragrance of those fruits is intoxicating us even right now. We want so much to eat these fruits, but we cannot. Because guarding every fruit in the Taliban forest is a horrible, dangerous demon in the form of an ass named Denugasura. This demon is so horrible that he terrifies anyone who comes before him. He eats men alive. And he's so cruel that no one dares to go to that forest. In fact, not even the birds will fly above that forest in fear of this man-eating, gigantic ass demon. But you have killed Bakasura. You have killed Agasura. Why should we have any fear? Let us go. Let us go to the Taliban forest. Don't you smell the fruits now? We want to enjoy. Let us go. Now the Acharyas explained that the cowherd boys actually had no desire to eat the fruits. They knew that Krishna and Balaram would like those fruits. So they were speaking as if they wanted to eat it, but actually their only motivation of their heart was to offer those fruits to Krishna and Balaram. Because in Vrindavan no one has any desire except the pleasure of Krishna. But because Krishna likes to see his devotees enjoy, sometimes the devotees will appeal that if we go there we will enjoy, just so that Krishna will go so that they could give him enjoyment. So when he heard the appeal of his friends, Krishna said, "How can a mere ass have so much power? Let's go." And then along with their friends, they were all laughing and laughing and laughing as they entered into the Taliban forest. Hrivo! Special effects. Balaramji was the first to enter the forest. And he went to a big, large tal tree, the biggest, best tal tree there. And he started shaking it and shaking it and shaking it with his supreme spiritual powers, shaking it, and the fruits were just falling and falling and falling to the ground, making noise. Denugasura heard this. This was impossible. No one dared to even enter the precincts of this forest. When Denugasura saw Balaramji shaking his tree, he was furious. He roared. Do you know how asses roar? It's a horrible sound. When lions roar, it's majestic. When tigers roar, it's heroic. When elephants roar, it's regal. Yes, but asses? It's horrible. It's obnoxious. Do you all know how asses? Everybody? You definitely have no ass-like inclinations. They just screech like, it's horrible. You've heard? But multiply that by about a million times in volume. And that was Denugasura. It was horrible, terrifying. He was charging. He was so furious. His eyes were red like fire as he saw Balaram shaking his tal fruits. As he was galloping and screaming and screeching, the entire earth and all the trees were shaking. Dhenukasura came right to Balaramji, turned his rear end right to Balaram's face, which is not proper etiquette at all. And then with his hind legs, poof, 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 with all of his strength, he was kicking Balaram right in the chest. And Balaram just stood there as if nothing. And then Dhenukasura, after repeatedly kicking him in the chest with his hind legs, Dhenukasura just went mad with anger. He started running around in circles and braying very, very loudly. And then he came back to Balaramji and turned his rear end right in front of Balaram's face. And again, with all of his strength, he hauled his rear legs at Balaram. And Balaram, with one leg, grabbed those two legs and picked him up and whirled him around in circles over his head and whirled him and whirled him and whirled him and whirled him until Dhenukasura left his body. And after Dhenukasura was spun to death, whirled to death, Balaramji effortlessly, with a smile on his face, threw him to the top of the highest tal tree in all of Taliban. And because Dhenukasura was gigantic, the whole tree started shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking, and then it fell, and the tree next to it shook and shook and fell, and the tree next to that shook and fell, and there was a whole chain reaction of gigantic tal trees falling to the ground. Now, Dhenukasura's ass friends, they were angry as fire. This was such an offense to kill their leader. They all came out, many of them, charging at Krishna and Balaram. Now Krishna stood in front at Evo. And the first ass demon came and turned around to kick Krishna. And Krishna grabbed his foot, his hind legs, and very effortlessly just whirled him around till he was dead and threw him on top of the tree. And the next demon came and Balaram grabbed him. And Krishna and Balaram just continuously, one ass demon after another, the two brothers, Sri Kri Krishna Balaramji, just sent every ass to the abode of death. Sri Krishna Balaram ki! It was a panoramic view, because these asses, they had big, huge bodies, and they had the colors of rain clouds. And also their blood was all over the place. Now that's a pretty ugly scene, is it not? Gigantic asses with their blood all over the place. No, it was a beautiful scene. Because whatever Krishna does, it's so beautiful to the heart. Hello. It looked like beautiful monsoon clouds. And the blood of the asses looked like bright red clouds being tinged by the sun. And it was all mixed up with all the leaves of the trees and beautiful fruits. It was a beautiful panoramic view. Now the cowherd boys wouldn't eat any of the fruits or offer them to Krishna, because they were contaminated by the blood of the asses. However, the Pulinda ladies who lived in the forests of Vrindavan, they came and collected those fruits and ate them. And after Dhenukasura and all of his ass associates were liberated, then the cows came back and started grazing in the Taliban forest, and the birds and everyone again gradually began to enjoy this most wonderful heavenly place. When Dhenukasura was killed, the demigods were overjoyed. They were showering flowers, and the cowherd boys were jumping up and down. Well done, Krishna! Well done, Balaram! Arivo! Arivo! Denukasura represents the anartha of gross ignorance. Not understanding the difference between the body and the soul. Even we may have so much material knowledge without understanding that we're the eternal servant of Krishna, it is gross ignorance. And this is also for a devotee. We may have a lot of knowledge, but if we're not actually realizing and practicing the spirit of servitude to God, then it is ignorance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a beautiful song like this. Do you remember? Vidyara Valase. Does anyone have songbook with that song present? And basically he's talking about how he spent he's taking the role of a conditioned soul in his humility. That he spent his whole life in the pursuit of knowledge. And he accumulated so much information. He read so many books. He has so much to speak. So much he knows. Please. Can I read to you? Would you like to hear this? Usually at this time we're always rushing because we have to get back. But tonight we're already back. Please listen carefully. The words of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. With great confidence I pass the time in the pleasures of mundane learning. I never worshipped your lotus feet, O Lord, but now you are my only shelter. Reading on and on, my hope grew, for I considered material knowledge to be life's true path. That hope was fruitless. That knowledge proved feeble. I know now that all such knowledge is ignorance. Srila Prabhupada went to one of the prestigious colleges in all of the world in Boston, Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. You have all heard of MIT. It's even more famous than IIT worldwide. And Prabhupada was speaking to graduates and PhDs and professors and all other undergraduates as well in an auditorium that was full. And Prabhupada told them, this is premier educational institution in the world. He said, where is your department to teach the difference between the body and the soul? Where is your department that is teaching what is our eternal identity? Without that, everything is ignorance. All mundane knowledge is but the power of the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, and an impediment to your service. It makes us... Okay, this is the most important part of the song in relation to today's narration. Are you listening carefully? Doesn't sound very convincing. All mundane knowledge is but the power of the Lord's illusory energy and an impediment to your service. It makes an ass out of the eternal soul by bringing about infatuation for this temporary world. What does it make us into?
Ass.
Loudly, please.
Ass.
Ready, ready. Louder, please. Okay. If anyone hears this tape, they'll never understand. Next verse. Here is such an ass who has for so long carried on his back the burden of material existence. Now in my old age, for want of the power to enjoy, nothing pleases me. Life has become agony now. That knowledge has become ignorance, and the burning pain of ignorance has become intolerable. Mundane knowledge has become just like a pointed shaft. O Lord, there is no treasure in this world but your lotus feet. Thus Bhaktivinoda, giving up all mundane knowledge, makes your lotus feet the sum and substance of his life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur herein is revealing by playing the role of an ordinary person that cultivating knowledge and skills in this world is like an ass, just putting more and more burden on the back. And what is that burden? The more knowledge and skills we have in this world, the more we become infatuated by it, the more we become proud of it. And that infatuation and pride is a massive burden that weighs us down and deprives us of bhakti. But Yukta Vairagya, Rupa Goswami explains, if we cultivate even this knowledge, but we use it in Krishna's service, then that is perfect. That is perfect. If we have the proper understanding and disposition that I am the eternal servant of the Lord, and with a humble state of mind, we use whatever we know and whatever we can do in Krishna's service, that is devotional service. But really, what it all comes down to is, are we cultivating the proper consciousness in which we can, with humility and feeling, chant the holy name? So this Denukasura represents infatuation by the carrying the heavy burden of mundane knowledge without understanding our relationship to Krishna as his eternal servant. So how to slay this demon? Balaram is the original spiritual master. We must hear from Guru. Tadvidhi pranipatena. We must hear from Guru Parampara with submissiveness and an eagerness to serve. But we must cultivate it. We must utilize our own abilities of endeavor. In one lecture Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan, I'll never forget, I heard the tape. Prabhupada said, tapasya means to read my books. I think he said 5 or 6 hours every day. If we want, Prabhupada poured his heart and his life into those books. When everyone was sleeping after a full day of doing more service than anyone else in the movement, Prabhupada, he would stay up at night for hours and hours and hours translating and writing purports. He called them his spiritual ecstasies. To reciprocate with his love, we read these books and appreciate these books and really try to understand. It is Prabhupada speaking to us, to our hearts, to give us the highest realm of blessing, of mercy. But we must make the effort. We must make the effort to actually try to learn what is Krishna consciousness. And if we make that effort, according to Guru and Krishna's will, ananyas chintayantamam yejana paryupashate, then they will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. If we try to understand the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, then Balaram will be pleased with us. And he will come and kill that ass-like tendency of Denukasura within our hearts. Denukasura was attached to enjoying the fruits of his knowledge and his abilities. That tendency is within every conditioned soul. Karamanyeva, the Krishna tells in Gita, we should not be attached to the results of our activities. We should offer the fruits for his loving service. Then, Krishna will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. We are depending always on mercy. But like the Damodar Leela, those two fingers that attract Krishna, the two fingers that actually help us to attain Krishna. One is our sincere, determined endeavor. And when Krishna sees our sincerity, he showers his mercy upon us. And it is ultimately only by his mercy that we can be freed from the ocean of material suffering and realize his divine love. So after Denukasura was killed, Krishna and the Balaram and all the gopas playing their flutes entered into the village of Vrindavan. And all the gopas and gopis were waiting for them. It was a beautiful sight. Nanda, Yashoda, and the young gopis, they gazed upon Krishna, whose beautiful hair was decorated with peacock feather, forest flowers, and especially the dust raised by the cows of Sri Brajbhumi. It was a most beautiful ornament for Krishna. His body was especially sweet when he was covered by the dust raised by the hooves of the cows. And when Krishna entered into the village playing his flute loudly, all the gopas were chanting his glories with great enthusiasm. His young cowherd boyfriends would chant all the stories and leelas of what Krishna did that day. With great pride, they were singing and singing and singing. This was how Vrindavan was. Every day they would, the gopis and the gopas and the Braj were waiting for Krishna in separation all day. Sometimes Krishna would just reciprocate with them from a distance away by playing upon his flute, and it would just enter into their hearts and intoxicate them with love. But they were in separation. And then Krishna would be coming back smiling and glancing upon them, playing upon his flute, and all the cowherd boys were loudly singing the glories of Krishna Balaram's pastimes of that day. What a procession with 900,000 cows. And when they would enter, the gopis, the young gopis, all day long, they suffer the spiritual ecstatic distress of separation from Krishna. And Krishna knew their hearts. He glanced upon them. That glance was so enchanting. He smiled upon them. That smile just beamed unlimited beauty. And his glance and his smile just went in through their eyes and entered into the core of their hearts. And thus, Krishna was reciprocating with the love of the hearts of each gopi simply by his glance and smile. And they gazed upon him. It is explained that the Braj gopis' eyes were like very thirsty honeybees. And Krishna's face was like the Mukunda. The face of Mukunda was like a nectarine flower. And the bumblebee eyes of gopis were just gazing upon him with such deep love. And Krishna fulfilled all their desires simply by a glance and a smile. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatan Goswami, explains that when Krishna glances and smiles, it is so magnanimous that one moment of being touched by Krishna's glance and smile will completely liberate one forever from the vast ocean of intense material agony. Shri Krishna ki jai. So that is the goal of our life. If we can just please Krishna by our honest, sincere service. If we can just please Krishna by learning how today to taste to hear his glories. If we can just please Krishna by tasting the nectar of the holy name and lovingly chanting it, then Krishna will smile upon us. He will glance upon us. And that one pleasing smile and glance of Krishna will evaporate the entire ocean of material illusion and suffering. Thus, Krishna and Balaram entered into the village of Vrindavan. And Yashoda Mai and Rohini, oh, they took Krishna Balaram on their laps. And first of all, they inspected their every limb to make sure that they didn't get injured while in the forest that day. They would inspect their limbs with such motherly love. Then they would bathe their children. Then after bathing Krishna Balaram, they would massage their bodies with fragrant oils. Then they would dress them and put ornaments on them. And they would embrace them and kiss them and cry tears of motherly love. Then they would make wonderful prasad and serve it to them with their own hands. And after they completely were satisfied eating just the preparations they liked best, Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi would place Krishna and Balaram in their soft, lovely beds and sing to them as they would enter into sleep. This is the life of Vrindavan. And this is one beautiful story that has brought our hearts to the forest of Talavan. There is nothing that any politicians can do to keep us out of Talavan. There is no power in the entire universal creation that can keep a devotee's heart outside of Vrindavan if we are sincere in nice association, hearing the glories of the Lord and loudly chanting his holy name. Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki, Sri Radha Rani Ki, Sri Radha Gopinath Dev Ki, Jai Jai Sri Radha. Much louder, please. I would like to offer special gratitude to the following devotees who have really worked very, very hard. This list was compiled by Gauranga Prabhu, Radha Krishna Prabhu, Abhiram Prabhu. They made the organization of the buses, and Abhiram Prabhu, unbelievable what he has done this time. He has to tolerate me practically every minute of the yatra, making many demands and like that. And yet, always, no matter how many things are going wrong, he's always calm, and at least this is what I see. I don't know whatever. He just never gives up. Even when I ask him to do something very difficult, he'll do it. I remember last year, I said, we want to take boats from Bailvan back to Vrindavan. This was the year before last. There was about how many people on that yatra? Huh? 1,200 people. This year we have 2,000. But last year, 1,200 people. And I said, why should we take buses from Bailvan? You remember that drive yesterday? He said, let's just take boats. So Abhiram said, very difficult for boats to go all the way to Bailvan for 1,200 people. I said, no, do it. He did it. You remember? He's a person who just... Prabhupada said, impossible is worded in a fool's dictionary. And managing these yatras, you have to have faith in Prabhupada's words. You really do. Otherwise, you'll go very crazy. Especially. So Radha Krishna Prabhu and Abhiram Prabhu and Sanat Kumar Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu and his team very much arranged for prasadam. Sri Nandanandana Prabhu and team, Gopi Janabalaba Prabhu and team for sound system, Govinda Prabhu and team. What did you do, Govinda? What? Govinda says he didn't do anything. Dayal Chandra Prabhu, Krishna Nam Prabhu, Trivikram Prabhu, Jayadev Prabhu, Nanda Sutta Prabhu and his team, Vishaka Priya Mataji and team, Sham Lal Prabhu and team of doctors, Murari Hari Prabhu and Lost a Found team. Adi Guru Prabhu and security team, all the devotees who participated in serving the prasadam during Prabhupada's festival, during yatra, donors, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu from Hyderabad, Harichandra Prabhu from Bhaktivedanta Matter, Bamsidhar Prabhu, Madan Mohan Prabhu, Nitya Krishna Prabhu, Ranganath Prabhu, Mukunda Prabhu, Bunky Bihari Prabhu, Purushottam Kalantri from Nasik, Jayadev Prabhu, and Arun Prabhu. They're the ones who sponsored all the prasad we had. And who is the cook? Does everyone know who cooked all the prasad this year? Where is Nanda? Is Nandasuta Prabhu here? Huh? Huh? Chaturbhuj Prabhu. Chaturbhuj Prabhu oversaw. Is Chaturbhuj Prabhu here? Anansut Prabhu. They have, it's not easy cooking for Prabhupada's festival. They cook for 7,000 people. If any of you appreciated the prasad, please loudly chant Hari Bol. And I personally especially would like to thank not only the cooks who made such an effort to make wonderful prasad for Prabhupada's feast, but all of the servers. Devamrit Prabhu spoke something this morning. It really is true that the enthusiasm, the efficiency, and the devotional spirit to please the Vaishnavas in which all of you served for those 2 days, something very, very wonderful. And I know last year and the year before when you did this service, devotees were talking about it all over the world. You have really pleased the hearts of the Vaishnavas. And actually, there is no greater achievement we can pray for than to please the hearts of the Vaishnavas. Because when we please the hearts of the Vaishnavas, Srimati Radharani and Shyam Sundar shower their mercy upon us. And that is our only hope. So I would like to thank you profusely and offer my lowly head on the lotus feet of all those who have helped to serve prasad. Thank you very much. Very exalted offering of love. And I would like to thank with a grateful heart all the devotees who have attended this yatra. Somehow all these days you have tolerated me. Not only do you tolerate me, but you look happy doing so. This is something that I cannot understand. This is Taror Ivasahishnana. Very grateful. Very grateful to all of you. I beg forgiveness for any inconveniences we have created in any way. And I know many inconveniences have been inflicted upon you. Please forgive us. And please take the impressions that Sri Vrindavan Dham has created in your heart and keep them there forever. That is the glory of pilgrimage. When we come to Vrindavan Dham, we see the holy places that Krishna has performed his leelas. We see the holy places and the samadhis where the great acharyas have performed their leelas. We see through our ears and with our eyes. And those impressions, we want to keep them very, very alive in our hearts. I remember I had to leave Vrindavan because my visa was gone in 1972. But what Vrindavan did to my life, it transformed me. completely transform my entire existence. And as soon as I left, the immigration told me, you have to wait 6 months till you get another visa to return. And that was the only purpose of my life, was to somehow or other just be outside for 6 months, and as soon as I get another visa, come back and never leave. That was my ambition. But in the course of that 6 months, I understand a higher principle, that pleasing and serving my spiritual master is where I will realize Vrindavan. And Prabhupada wanted me to serve in America. So I did my service. But every day, twice a day, before I would eat and before I would take rest, I would sit for about 10 minutes and meditate on the places of Vrindavan. I would meditate on the places and the deities, because I feared that if I didn't do that every day, that clear impression of the sight of the deities and the sight of these holy places of Krishna's Leelas and the samadhis of Goswamis, that time would just make them evaporate from my consciousness. So I would always sit before taking rest and just, I would do parikrama. I would do parikrama of Govardhan, I would do parikrama of Vrindavan, I would do parikrama of Barsana and Nandagaon, of all these places, and just meditate and pray and just picture them in the heart, in the eye of my heart. Because I never wanted to forget this experience. And with trying to keep Vrindavan in my heart, I tried to perform my sadhana and my service to my Guru Maharaj, where all of these things could be realized. So please, keep these impressions, these experiences, always alive and awake in your heart. And take the example of the great acharyas that we have been worshipping here. And try to follow in their footsteps. And most of all, when we leave Vrindavan, the greatest benediction we can have is if we depart with such gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas, such gratitude to the Vaishnavas, that as unqualified as we are, we have entered into the supreme abode of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And with thousands of devotees, we have been hearing and chanting the glories of Vrindavan for 2 weeks. We should be so grateful, and we should reciprocate by expressing our gratitude through our surrender. Surrender to our sadhana, the first instruction of Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and all our acharyas, the first instruction is to very sincerely and attentively chant the holy names. And we can show our gratitude to Prabhupada and the acharyas by showing our love to those who they love, which is all the devotees. Which means being the servant of the servant of the servant. Trinara bisunichina taror ibasahishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Do not ever think you're an advanced devotee or you will fall down. Just be humble and eager to serve. And in that spirit, we can actually find shelter in the holy name. In that spirit, we can actually find shelter in the holy scriptures, In that spirit, we can actually find Krishna in Hari Katha. Be humble and be eager for service with a grateful heart. Let this be what we bring with us wherever we go. The sweet, nectarine pastimes of Radha Krishna, the gopas and the gopis, let them forever enchant our minds. Let Madan Mohanji and his Radhika steal our heart away from all of the temporary pleasures that we're addicted to in this world. Let this be our prayer. If we are sincere to serve Guru and Vaishnavas, to hear his glories and chant his names, yes, Sri Sri Radharani and Madan Mohan will shower their blessings upon us. And that is the perfection of our life. So let us take this spirit of Vrindavan with us wherever we go. And let this yatra to Vrindavan serve as a benediction that energizes us and enthuses us to practice devotional service in such a way that Prabhupada and Krishna and Sri Radharani will be pleased to glance upon us and smile upon us. Yes, let this yatra serve as a catalyst to increase our dedication, our loyalty, our faithfulness, our determination in a sweet spirit, in a very sweet spirit of surrender. Surrender is the sweetest, most nectarine thing. It means giving our heart to Radha and Krishna through Guru and the Vaishnavas. This is the purpose of our yatra. And on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, we pray that their blessings may shower upon all of you for all of eternity. Thank you very, very much. And now we will... Jagatarini Devi Mataji, would you please speak some words to give blessings to all the devotees on this yatra?
Before offering any auspicious benedictions upon the devotees, I would like just to speak a little bit about my own experience in coming out on the yatra. I came this time to Vrindavan with a small group of devotees, a very teeny group of devotees, and we were going to take 6 or 7 days to go to the different places of Vrindavan. And it was difficult work. We had to get rickshaws, and then when we got to the places, I had to think of something to say. I had to come back. The next morning, I had to pick up a book and read something. And so it was quite effortful, but it was very, very minute. And so my daughter came out on this prakrama with all of the devotees, and she kept saying to me, "You've got to come. You've got to come. You've got to see. There's 2,000 people there. And they're all so enthusiastic. You've got to come." So I was saying, well, I have to finish my work, and then let me see. When my service is finished, let me see. So I had only 4 days to share with you. And it feels as though I've been here with you for weeks and weeks and weeks. It has been so intense. Because Maharaja's power to actually share and to elaborate on the pastimes of Vrindavan is so immense that it's kind of like bathing in a bathtub compared to taking bath in the Ganga. So it has been such a refreshing and invigorating experience for me, as I'm sure that it has been for all of the devotees who have been here for the good fortune of participating in the yatra. And so I think I'm not at all capable of offering any benediction on my own strength. In fact, I'm sure of that. But were I to wish for something for yourselves, it would certainly be the same as what I wish for myself in this case, which would be that somehow or other these deep impressions may stay with us, and somehow or another we can get back here again and do this again, perhaps with even more devotees. I was thinking in my own material way, oh, 2,000 people, that's going to be very effortful to be with so many people. But I had exactly the opposite experience. So I'm very, very happy that I had this time to share in your company. And it was a little embarrassing, I have to admit, because I came thinking, ah, now I'll get a break, I can sit and listen. And then Maharaj is saying, come and speak something. And I had nothing in my mind. I was busy listening instead. So somehow or other, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I've been able to participate, and I'm most grateful for the experience. And I wish you all of the good fortune that Maharaj is seeking to encourage you with, and I hope that your Krishna consciousness will continue to steadily grow, so that not only will Maharaj or some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples be carrying the weight of responsibility for sharing Krishna with the people of this world, but that each one of you will grow in your own ways, so that you can become more and more instrumental in satisfying Srila Prabhupada's desire that Krishna consciousness should spread all over the universe. Thank you very much. Thank you.